Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to Concussion Doc Podcast, episode 136. I'm on with Steve Broglio. He's going to talk to us soon. But first, I would like to thank my sponsor, Head Check Health. So Head Check Health bridges the gaps in concussion care through simple, powerful technology. Through organizations like the Canadian Football League, Track Factory Racing, the Canadian Junior Hockey League, Eastern Washington University, and Volleyball Canada. We rely on HeadCheck to improve communication and optimize care. Visit HeadCheckHealth.com for more. And I guess also, you can follow me on my social media, so I can Concussion Doc on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. My website is ConcussionTalk.com, and there you'll find the store, which leads you to The Public, which is where I sign my t-shirts, hoodies, mugs, posters, pillows, not posters. Anyway, there's a bunch of stuff on the The Public page. So, but now without all that garbage, I'll talk to Steve, who is kind of joining me to talk about the University of Michigan Concussion Center, which is director. So, Steve, first of all, because I will ask you about your own background, but first, just what is the Concussion Center, and what are you trying to tell the people of the University of Michigan? So the faculty, staff, students, everybody, just what are you trying to
get? So thanks, Nick. Appreciate the invitation to come and talk to you and your listeners here today. So as you said, in the intro, I'm the director of the University of Michigan Concussion Center, and we largely operate around three cores. We have a research core, a clinical core, and then an outreach and engagement core. The research core sort of speaks for itself. You know, we're really interested in discovering new knowledge around concussion prevention and identification, management, understanding long-term effects. Clinical core is through some of the clinical outlets here at University of Michigan. So there's a neurosport clinic, the adult and pediatric emergency department. We work closely with our Department of Athletics. We work closely with student health and rec sports. So another number of different units across campus that we work with to provide clinical care, whether it's largely athletes, I would say, is our expertise, but we do, rec sport athletes, we do our varsity athletes, students slipping on the ice. So all comers, if you will. And then the third core is our outreach and engagement. We're really trying to address health disparities around concussion, and whether that's knowledge or access, those are the sorts of things that we're trying to tackle. And we have great partnerships with our High School Athletic Association, Michigan Health and Human Services, Detroit Public Schools, and then various other organizations across the country that we've collaborated with on different policy statements and documents. I think to your question about kind of how we sit on campus, we sort of see ourselves as a hub for all things concussion here at the university, and trying to integrate research into clinical care. Learning from clinical care, what are the questions that come up in clinical care that can be addressed through research, And then, like I said, pushing, you know, good information out, whether that's to the public on a podcast like this, or maybe clinical providers to make sure that they have access to the most recent findings to improve their clinical practice.
And so to excuse my ignorance of the of geography there, so you said Detroit Public Schools, but in all University of Michigan is in Lansing, right?
And so we the other school in Michigan is in Lansing. That's Michigan State.
Is in Lansing.
Totally fine. So we're in Ann Arbor. We're about an hour outside of Detroit, so it's not too far. And actually we have some people headed over tomorrow morning. There's a Safety Town event that has a concussion portion to it. And so we're going to support some of the work there tomorrow and on Thursday.
Okay, so along with Detroit Public Schools, who I assume you work closely with, as you said, how big is the University of Michigan student population?
We have our largest student body ever this year, 51,000 and a couple hundred, I think. So we're a good size.
What do you think people, their students, I guess, as I'm talking about, they need to know the most about concussion that they don't know now? That if you had to get out, then at one point, that's not fair. But what should they know about concussion brain injury?
Yeah, so I would say our student athletes are actually really well informed because many of them have come up what I would term kind of the modern concussion era. So as they came through high school sports, they got exposure to a lot of information around it. So I think the student athletes are actually really well educated. I think the general student body, just because they don't deal with it on a day-to-day basis, I just don't think they have that exposure. So I think the things that we always try to tell people is, you know, if you suspect you have an injury, stop doing what you're doing and go seek out medical care. It's really clear that if you keep participating in your activity while you're concussed, that makes things worse. It makes your recovery longer. And even if that's a slip on the ice and then you're like headed to class, you know, we know that early return to the classroom before you've had adequate rest is can be detrimental. So that's a bigger challenge because it's harder to reach the general student body than it is like a focus group like the athletes. But that's the sort of thing that we think about.
Because I know Michigan, the University of Michigan, it's a very, you know, it's intense, kind of, this is maybe a word you can use, student athlete, like athletics, University of League, and the best basketball in the 90s. Now I'm not sure now, but I know they're doing well, still do well. Basketball, football, and hockey as well. It's Canadian, I know about hockey a bit, but I never played it, but weirdly. So do you see the athletes the most? Do they come to you, or are the teams involved with the concussion center?
Yeah, so every one of our teams on campus, and I think we have 20 some odd sports. I'm not exactly sure the exact number, but every one of them has an athletic trainer, or in Canada be an athletic therapist that works with the team. And then there's a physician that may oversee 4, 5, 6 different sports. So there's multiple physicians that oversee all the different sports. The athletic trainers are present at every game in practice. So if there's a suspected event, then the athletic trainer can remove the athlete and then do the evaluation there on the sideline and make a decision as to whether or not the athlete should go back that day or whether they need to stay out. You know, maybe it's very clear they have a concussion and they definitely aren't going to go back, or maybe they're just not sure and they're going to just hold the athlete out of precautionary measures. So, you know, that's a very, we're very fortunate to have that type of structure here, to have the broad coverage that we do. And then when those athletes are identified, depending on how complex the case is, we may or may not see them. So the team physicians handle the vast majority of the concussion cases that happen with our student athletes. But if it's a really complex case, they're not progressing like we would anticipate, that's when they would go over to our specialty clinic, Neurosport, and to get some further evaluation and kind of additional resources that they have.
And I guess there's a dash a little bit about yourself and your background, but the reason I first reached out to you after I read the article in the Washington Post, which you did some commenting on and talking about Tua and Tagovailoa. take a lot of way
long. I just go with Tua. I struggle with it too.
Take a mouthful. Take a boy by the law. Anyway, the Michigan, the Miami quarterback.
Yeah.
Miami Dolphins quarterback who went down twice in 4 days. And there's big to talk about this, the second infection syndrome, which of course is very scary. But do you deal mostly could you start with your background, who you are, and then do you end up where you did your education? You can see in front of me, but for the audience. So do you deal mostly with football, or do you just sport just in general? You're just
So I'll give a short version of my training. I've been to a number of places. So I actually I got my undergraduate degree from University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. From there, I went to Pittsburgh, got my master's degree, and then down to University of Georgia for my doctorate. And then I took my first faculty position at University of Illinois in Champaign in 2006, and I was there for about 5 years, and then came to Michigan, University of Michigan in 2011, and been here for 11 or 12 years now. I would say over my career, I definitely started, I did a lot of work with football early on. And the reason for that is it's the highest risk sport for concussion. So if you're going to spend your time, you know, doing research, you know, kind of biggest bang for your buck, as it were.
And you're in Georgia. So,
So a little bit of Georgia, but this I'm thinking actually mostly at Illinois. I spent a lot of time with high school football. When I came to Michigan, I kind of started in the football space, but then around 2014, myself and two of my colleagues, we were funded by the NCAA and the Department of Defense to do a national study of concussion. And that actually involves every athlete, every varsity athlete at 30 different sites across the country. So that was 26 or 28 different sports. And that's everything from football and ice hockey and lacrosse through track and golf and tennis, right? So it's every varsity athlete at all the sites were eligible to participate. So we've really widened our net. And then in addition, I should say, we had the four U.S. military service academies involved. So Air Force and West Point, Navy and Coast Guard.
A huge study.
It's a big study. And at those locations, every cadet on campus was eligible. So at a place like West Point, it's like 4,500 cadets a year are on campus. So we had varsity athletes at those locations. We had what we call non-varsity athletes, the general cadet body. So that work has really kind of broadened the horizons on what we do. So all varsity sports, but just military personnel, officers are what we're looking at now. So, you know, and there's different, it turns out people, you know, different personalities go to different sports, and that sort of influences risk, and that influences recovery.
Right, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, because it's amazing seeing your biography. This is on the Concussion Center homepage about us page. That you are a professor of kinesiology, of neurology, and of physical medicine and rehabilitation. So, where did you? I know you said you went to Pittsburgh and Georgia for your training, but. But you have the research thing of this concussion center. So how does that all tie in? Like, what research do you focus on? So just a study of this vast group of people. So
Great question. So I would say early in my career, I spent a lot of time looking at different ways to evaluate, or what were the best ways to evaluate an athlete on the sideline or in the clinic. And by today's standards, it seems like the things that we're doing now seem very obvious, but this was back in about 2000, 2005. Yeah. We didn't have an understanding. There was not a unified approach to concussion evaluation like there is today. So I was trying to understand those things. I then shifted over to impact biomechanics. And this is a lot of the football work that I was talking about at the high school level. And so understanding which athlete, kind of how many head impacts does an athlete take? How severe are those head impacts? Does it vary by player position? Does it vary by the type of play? Is it an offensive play, a defensive play? We looked at it a number of different ways. And then this bigger study that I talked about a second ago, that one looked at the acute effects of injury initially, So understanding, trying to understand if the football athlete recovers at the same rate as the golfer, somebody with 2, 3, 4 prior concussions recovers at the same rate as somebody with their first injury, and a lot of other little things in there. Now we're shifting towards long-term effects, which I think is what a lot of people are really interested in. So we, in the initial portions of the study, we enrolled about 55,000 individuals to participate. And we're starting to track a subset of those, about 10 or 12,000, up to 10 years after they've graduated from their institution.
Yes.
And the long-term goal is to keep tracking them all the way through through life. And so we do two evaluations every, we do one evaluation every three-ish, 2 to 3 years. So 2 over 5 years for the current funding cycle. And then, so we'll just keep, the idea is to kind of keep tracking them over time and to understand, who has long-term issues and then what characteristics kind of maybe predispose them to those issues.
Right. Cause as you mentioned, 2000, 2005, there was no known about brain injury in general. So these longer term studies are obviously essential, very important, but of course they take a long time. And not gonna, people want answers, right now. Will I have the CT? Will I have trouble later in life? But they can't know until doctors can't tell you for sure what's gonna happen, because you gotta wait to get the results of these studies, which of course have to take starting in say 2020 of 2005. If they started there, which a few, if any, did, then we're still waiting until 2015 to get just 10 years. I mean, that's nothing.
Right.
And
So you've hit the nail on the head there. I think, to get the definitive answer of who may end up with CTE or some sort of neurodegenerative issue, it's going to take another 30 or 40 years.
Yeah.
That's not to say that we won't learn things along the way that can be applied to clinical care. So people will do various studies along the way. That will really inform kind of what this long-term issue looks like. But the true definitive work that you touched on is like, it's this prospective longitudinal. So getting somebody before they are injured and tracking them for as long as you need to really understand.
Exactly. It's kind of these 2 years. You're a professor of physical medicine and rehabilitation. So does your biomechanics background come into that, or is that why you lean towards that, why you're teaching there, or is it just because you want to know about treatment for general neural issues?
So my primary appointment at University of Michigan is in the School of Kinesiology.
Right.
And so that's kind of what we would term my academic home. I spend all my time here. My appointments in physical med and rehab and neurology are what some people would call a dry appointment or an adjunct appointment. So those units were just very generous when I came here, and they gave me those appointments. But I may lecture. I collaborate with a lot of people in both of those units from a research perspective. I may give a guest lecture on occasion, but that's about the extent of the time.
Okay, so what do you teach in kinesiology about, say, the brain? Like, your brain is not moving more. Hopefully moving a bit, but not moving a lot. So kinesiology seems like the impact, the behavioral, the biomechanics obviously are the biggest issue there. But the brain itself is not moving. So what do you learn about just hitting impact?
Yeah, so kinesiology is, I like to describe it as kind of the crossroads of a lot of different disciplines.
Yeah.
So I teach within the athletic training program here. I, depending on what my teaching assignments are, I sometimes teach a class that's specific to concussion. So I'll spend an entire semester talking about different topics within the field. So it could be injury epidemiology, it could be sideline assessment, it could be long-term effects, kind of, it's kind of a broad course.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
But we do have a lot of individuals in our school that do biomechanics. We have people that do motor control. We do people. We have people that do exercise physiology, and all of those things in some way kind of tie in. I don't do that work specifically. I don't do the biomechanics work anymore, but I don't. Other people are much better at it than I am. But all those things sort of kind of overlay into the concussion space. So we talked about some of the biomechanics work that I've done, trying to understand human physiology, to understand the pathophysiology of concussion, and then maybe what rehab would look like or exercise interventions as a rehab. Motor control, if you think about some of the balance or the gait tests that we give, that's a motor control issue. For concussion. So trying to understanding how that works at a, like a neuronal level, how we maintain balance, how we walk, that can inform some of the work that we do in the concussion space. It's a great unit to be in just because we have so many intersecting, themes. I've worked with people in our sport management program around, the economics of concussion. So an athlete has an injury, they're out for a certain number of days. What does that cost the athlete? What does that cost the team? And so kind of trying to understand some of that work. I've had conversations with people around the policies around concussion, whether that's removal from play or different protocols or those sorts of things. So I feel really fortunate to be in the unit just because of all the diversity of knowledge that's here, and then I can tap into when I have these questions.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So, because I guess the policy is why your policy protocol is why you're asked by the Washington Post to talk about NFL protocols, but we won't get into that because it's obviously a touchy subject for some. So we won't talk about that. But so you mentioned the three cores of the concussion center. So in the research core, that's, I guess, where you live in your office or in your kinesiology, but do you direct the whole thing, or do you still do research? And what is exciting there now?
Yeah. So my official role is director of the center. So I sort of oversee kind of all of it. I would say I probably spend the majority of my time on the research, and then the outreach and engagement is probably where I spend the majority of my time. Only because I'm licensed in the state as an athletic trainer, but I'm not actively engaged in clinical care. So I let the clinicians are the experts, and I let them do the thing that they do best. We talk to them a lot and how we can, how we can learn from them and how we can give information back to them, but they really kind of, they handle that portion of it. I would say at a center level, from the research perspective, you know, we are focused on kind of this personalized healthcare around concussion. And we have kind of four big themes that we think about around it. And that's injury prevention, injury identification, injury management, and then long-term effects. So, and then we have kind of sub projects within each of those that we're working on. And we feel that that structure kind of encompasses the full life of the injury, if as it were, right? So if we can prevent injuries, that's really the best case, because then we don't have to deal with any of the downstream effects. Yeah. But they're going to happen. So how do we quickly identify somebody, get them out of play? And then once they've been identified, how do we manage that injury? So, you know, maybe not even 10 years ago, maybe even 5 or 6 years ago, we were still, somebody had a concussion and we would say, you know, no TV, don't interact with anybody, turn the lights out, go to a dark closet. And we really found that that has really, really detrimental effects on a person's psychology. So as the concussion symptoms start to come down over, you know, the weeks after injury, these psychological symptoms start to come up, and disentangling those two things becomes really challenging. So we've moved away from that model. And we're using exercise as an early intervention. Usually within 24 to 48 hours, we'll start somebody on some really light exercise. And that's showing to improve outcomes. And that's been a great, that's been great for everybody. And then, as I mentioned before, I think the question a lot of people are asking is, what are the long-term effects? And trying to really understand that, it, not to say that there are no long-term effects, it's clear, you know, CT is a thing, it's out there, but who gets it, why they get it, and then how can we prevent it, I think are the big questions that we're trying to answer right now.
There's, as you kind of, you didn't mention there, at least to do say one concussion, although I'm not good, do not try to hit your head, but one concussion is not, does not mean CTE. So, and I think there's a lot of history about anybody who gets concussion is going to develop CTE, or any football players say, oh, well, they've had one, they must have had a million. But that's not necessarily true. And I think it's just getting some information out there about concussion and brain injury in general and what effects it can have. So obviously, as we mentioned, it's still going to take a long time to sort out what that means long-term. But, you know, as it's, you can't just say be patient. People have had concussion or brain injury can't really, don't you want to say be patient and waste a bunch of their time, but their life, but, you know, but still, and there's, you need to understand that it's not, everything is not billed right away. So you have to let nature, let the, like, science do its thing and just be, and you know, I hate to say be patient because I just said don't, but you know, be patient. I mean, there's no way away for me to think of and say it, but I keep moving my hands up as I'm distracting.
So I'll just throw in there, you know, the first, I mean, we can argue about when was CTE first identified in the scientific literature and the Martland paper from 1929 and. But really,
is that pugilistica dementia one?
Yeah, dementia pugilistica, punch drunk. So you know, that was the, that was kind of, we can look back and go, oh, that was the first paper. But really, up until about 2006, when Bennett and Mahler identified it in Mike Webster, no one really thought about it too much. So what I term is kind of like the modern CTE or the modern concussion era. I mark personally as I mark it as actually January of 2007, because that's when CTE ended up on the front page of the New York Times. And it was because the second CTE case, Bennett had found the second CTE case. And then the US was involved in two military conflicts overseas, and TBI concussion was the signature injury of those conflicts. So you had this civilian interest from the sports side, and then you had this military interest. And then that's really when research funding became available, when publications started to take off. So if you think about 2007, 15 years ago, almost 16 years ago, we're not that far into this, from a dedicated effort. And if you line that up against something like Alzheimer's disease, which was identified 100 and some odd years ago, cardiac disease, which we still don't have a strong handle on, like there's a lot of things that have been around a lot longer you know, we have a ways to go. And I understand people's frustrations. They want answers. I get it.
Yeah.
But science is not known to move fast. But no. People are working hard to solve these issues.
Exactly. And I mean, that's just, it's just so important for, and was really kind of, and then what do you think, like, the most important thing you would like just not only the University of Michigan staff and students and faculty to know, but and Detroit students, Detroit Public School students and faculty and staff, but what would you like just the general public know about brain injury? And then, brain injury in general, just
encouraging. Yeah. You know, I think over my career of 20 some years, you know, I've seen a huge shift in the way we think about concussions. I think early on, we would say, you know, got his bell rung or clearing the cobwebs or some colloquial phrase. And we've really shifted away from that. We recognize concussion as a brain injury. But I would encourage people, I think two things. One, you know, I think people need to stay active in a sport. And what sport that is up to the individual to choose. But I would just caution them from using concussion as a reason to participate in no sports, right?
Exactly.
I don't want the risk of concussion, therefore I'm not going to do anything. And I think that's a really bad choice because we know what happens when you're inactive and sit on the couch all day.
Exactly.
But the choice to participate in a sport, you know, that's up to the, you know, if it's a child, it's up to the child and the family to make the decision. What is the right sport for that individual? For some people, that's football. And for some other people, that's golf. And both are great choices, but that's an individual choice you have to make.
Right.
And then kind of, I think with that, if an injury happens, you know, recognize it for what it is, get yourself out of play and get some good healthcare. I understand that not everybody has access to good healthcare, and there's some challenges around that. And that's one of the things we're working on. But as best you can, you know, try to seek help.
And speaking of good health, this is actually not a final question. So if I'm one of the 151,000 students at the University of Michigan, and I do, I don't know, fall or walk in, somebody drops like books on my head or something like that. Like, I mean, you know, it's like, when I feel like in my head, I feel a bit woozy or feel a bit off for a second, it hurts. And I maybe could have gotten a concussion, but who knows? What do I do? Where do I go?
Yeah, so here at the University of Michigan, students can go to student health. It's called University Health Services. So they can go there to seek help. Our medical campus is it directly abuts against the central campus. So we have an adult emergency room, and we have an adult or a child emergency room, pediatrics. So depending on the age, they can go to either. I would say concussion is 99% of the time not an emergency injury. But if they're the only one open and you're concerned, then that's the place to go. But student health is great. And then depending on your case and your specific needs, they may refer you on to our neurosport clinic, or they may refer you on to somebody else that can take care of you.
And of course, the outreach section core of the Michigan Concussion, University of Michigan Concussion Center. That's a weird thing. I have more difficulty saying concussion, but I do. They'll always just be there for good information and good outreach, as generally as I can say, has only never been there.
Yeah. So I would encourage people to go to our website, concussion.umich.edu. You know, we put as much as we can up on the website as far as findings and press releases and those things. They can find us on Twitter at UMich Concussion, UMICH Concussion, all one word. We post on there daily, just about daily with the latest findings. We're just continually trying to put information out for people to read. You know, there's a lot of people working really hard at this, and we're just trying to be an amplifier for all that great work.
And I think they're a great spokesman. So for anybody, this right, I've reached out to you, just seeing them on Twitter, and I've read the article, the Washington Post article, which is October 5th. Believe, yeah, And so it's just news after Tua's injury. And so it just it was a great, great article. So I encourage everybody to read that at the Washington Post. And if you're at Michigan, or even if you're not, go visit their Concussion Center Twitter, which is at UMichConcussion. And from there, I'm sure there's a link to the homepage for the Michigan Concussion Center, University of Michigan Concussion Center. But with all that said, thank you. Thanks, Steve. Thank you for the great interview and for helping all the people that in Michigan and elsewhere sort out this whole issue.
Thanks, Nick. Thanks for having me. And thanks for your listeners for tuning in. Appreciate the opportunity.
Thanks.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.